This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Today we have Crystal Kennedy in studio, and we're going to talk a little bit about Native spirituality and the healing that happens following this path. So welcome, Crystal. It's nice to have you on the show. Can you tell us just a little bit about how you got interested in Native spirituality and maybe some of the effects that it's had on your life?
Thank you, Kathy. First of all, I want to clarify that Native spirituality is a kind of a relative term because there are so many different Native nations, and in our modern day, they tend to get lumped under Native spirituality. Each of the different nations have different practices in their own cultural background, and I'm going to only speak on my interpretation of what I do in my Native spirituality. That being said, I want to recognize that we are in the Tlaytlay Dene territories, and that I respect that this is their area, and they have their own spiritual and Native practices. When I first began following in the path that I follow today, I was 24 years old. I was not raised in a Native manner, though I was always aware that we had Native ancestry. And when I was 24, I attained my sobriety. And I did that through the help of Alkali Lake down near Williams Lake. They have a personal growth workshop that I attended in my healing, and a lot of their own spiritual teachings and customs were incorporated into it. That's when I was first introduced to sweat lodges, smudging, and a lot of the belief systems behind that.
Crystal, can you just tell us a little bit about how sweat lodges work and how they're set up?
The sweat lodge that we have on the property, our particular sweat lodge is made from willow branches. We call them ribs, and they're formed into a kind of hut like an upside down bowl. They have usually a certain number of ribs and covered over with canvas, blankets, anything to make it dark inside without any light and to keep the steam that we generate inside. The lodge that we have, and when I say we, I mean the people that I sweat with. I take care of that lodge for the people. And our sweat group has the lodge set up to face the south. Part of the reason that we chose to do that was because in our interpretation, it really makes no difference which direction that we face. We know that our ancestors and our spiritual helpers are going to be giving us teachings from that direction. The south made it so that we didn't have to cut down any trees. And that was our main reason for facing it south. We thought it was a good lesson for anybody that attended, that there wasn't one way of doing it and only one way. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely invited a whole lot of questions surrounding that because you don't often see a lodge facing to the south.
Mm-hmm. How does it usually face?
Most of the ones that I've attended have faced either to the east, mm-hmm, as the break of a new day, mm-hmm, or to the west where many of the nation's teachings are that our thunder beings, our spiritual guides, our ancestor spirits, mm-hmm, that's where they come from.
And your ancestors play a big part in your spirituality.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
One of the prayers that I pray involves what I do is I call to them, and it's my grandmothers and my grandfathers that have walked this earth before me. there are some people who interpret that to be even leaders of various world religions like Christ or Buddha. These were people who walked on this earth and suffered as we do before us. So for myself, I'm asking my grandmothers and my grandfathers all the way back to time began, I'm a descendant of them, and they have things to teach me because they've been here before. Mm-hmm. And once we pass from this world to the other side, we see things in a different perspective. And just as you want to teach your children when you see them growing and walking a path that might not be the best way, they also want to contact us and let us know that we need to do something or we need to stop doing something mm-hmm. to be better, happy, and healthy.
Mm-hmm. And does the sweat lodge, is it like a womb as far as being dark and warm? Is that part of the purpose of it being like that?
Part of the things that are shared when people first come to the lodge is letting them know that we are going inside, and what we're doing is we're actually asking our Creator to give us a rebirth so that we can go in, we can share things that are bothering us, things that we regret, things that we hope for. We let all of the aches and pains, angers, fears, let them go and start fresh. It doesn't mean that we're not accountable for things that we've done in our life, but what it means is we let them go, and when we leave the lodge, we leave everything behind and begin afresh. So we're in a forgiven state, and it's time to start over.
So the whole process is about forgiveness and healing.
Absolutely, and rebirth.
And rebirth. Is there a special way you need to cleanse the lodge after?
No, because the lodge is in and of itself a cleansing. What we believe is that we take lava rocks usually, though other lodges have different ways. In our lodge, we use lava rocks, and we heat them in the fire outside. We bring them in a certain amount per round, depending on what feels right at the time. We pour water on them, and in our case, we use a medicine tea, usually rosebush or the devil's club. We make a tea from it, pour it onto the rocks, and breathe that steam in. Mm-hmm. In our belief, when we cry, when we send a voice or pray, as it were, we're sending our prayers to the rocks, and the grandfathers look after that. We call the rocks grandfathers because it's one of the oldest form of rock, and they take care of it. So mm-hmm. we don't have to cleanse it. The rocks, the heat, the steam, all of that's looked after. And what we do is we open the door when we're done. We allow the rocks to cool. We may go in and sweep out any boughs, any dead branches, things like that. But no, there's no cleansing needed.
Mm-hmm. And to come to a sweat, do you bring an offering?
When you come to my lodge, I ask that you bring tobacco, and that might be anything from a pinch of tobacco to one cigarette to a pack of smokes to a pouch of tobacco. It's totally up to the individual. There is not a requirement attached, but I encourage people to do that because if they bring one cigarette, that tells me they probably are a little short of money. If they bring one cigarette, I ask them to take the filter off, say their prayers on it, and put it directly into the fire, because I don't receive that tobacco. That's something for their own grandmothers and grandfathers. It's an expression of trust and gratitude that their prayers are going to be heard. And it's something for them to focus on so that they can hold it in their hand. When they say their prayers, it seems to intensify them. Mm-hmm. We need things sometimes to be literal and fit, and instead of figurative.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody brings a pack of smokes or a pouch of tobacco, I'll ask them what that's for, and when they tell me, then I'll accept it. And that goes either for use at the lodge, or I may give it to an elder or somebody down on their luck that that may be their only comfort.
Mm-hmm. And is the drum used in your sweat lodge?
The hand drums are used by individuals who are drummers.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's welcome to bring one. The expectation or protocol, if you will, is that you wait for the invite of the sweat lodge leader, which might be myself or it may be somebody else if I ask them to run the lodge. You wait for an invite to sing a song or to sing a particular song. It's not something that you just start in because you feel led to.
Mm-hmm.
That would be showing a disrespect for the way things are done there.
Mm-hmm. But the drum definitely has a powerful place in it.
The drum is definitely a part of our lodge, yes. There are some lodges where drums aren't brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, each lodge that you go to will have their own protocol. Mm-hmm. And usually the people who are running it, they make it clear before you go in what's expected and what they're requesting of you.
So on other days, you're not having a sweat every day, Crystal. Is there other ceremonial things that you do on a daily basis to help you remember and help you ground you and keep you in contact with spirit?
There, we have an average of about every 2 weeks we have a sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And a sweat ceremony. In between times and even the day of the sweat, when people come and they ask me about, you know, how to live a strong spiritual life, the first thing that I suggest to them is number one, when you first wake up, thank the Creator for another day and have that gratitude in your heart and take the time to meet with your ancestors before. So then... the second thing is that there are forms of cleansing that you can do instead of just in the sweat lodge, and that's smudging is something that we're encouraged to do daily. And just the gratitude, being in a spirit of gratitude and stay connected through prayer.
Mm-hmm. And smudging, is there a specific way to smudge or what is the purpose behind the smudge?
The most specific way about smudging is that it's done with respect. And when I say with respect, it's to remember that the tools that you use to smudge, which would be whatever herb you're using, like sweetgrass or sage, cedar, that you remember it's something that gave its life so that you could ease your way through this world.
Mm-hmm.
And... we smudge from our head all the way down to our feet and then frequently back up again. And that's to cleanse yourself off and to close yourself off as a form of protection.
Okay. And the feather, a lot of people use a feather with smudge. Is there a protocol around the proper use of the feather or how you attain the feather?
That's a hard one because every nation again has different requirements on who has the right to own a feather. For myself, if the eagle or the owl or the hawk or the crow has given you the feather, then I feel that you have a right to hold it. If it comes from the bird, it's gifted it to you. Now, as far as using one of those in the smudging, I think the thing that I would point out the most is, in the way that I was taught, you don't blow on the smudge ingredient. You don't blow on the sage or the sweetgrass or the cedar in order to make it stronger. Mm-hmm. Because then what you're doing is you're putting yourself into it, and from there it's going to go to others. So we use the feather just to fan it. And to get it burning brightly and then to waft the smudge smoke over top of a person.
Mm-hmm.
People who know how to do that sort of thing can also cleanse you off by brushing off a person into the smudge. And that's a different form of smudge where you're specifically cleaning somebody and clearing them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Crystal, we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about harvesting and gathering herbs.